Chapter 143, if you'll find your place there at Psalm chapter 143. And good to see everybody back tonight. I appreciate the wonderful meal. Fantastic. Man, that was great. I hope everybody got to stay and enjoy the food. And it was good. And then we stand just up the road here. See if I, Mike, and am I right, Kate? Kay? All right, I was close, wasn't I? Yeah, Mike and Kate, all right. Staying at their place and enjoy that this afternoon. And I appreciate your hospitality to me and Michelle and the love offering that you taken up this morning. I'm very appreciative of that. And didn't that boy do a good job? Give him another hand. He did great. I wish I could sing, and I wish I could play a piano. I wish I could do it, but I can't do it because I can't do two things at one time. I'd either play and quit singing, or I'd sing and quit playing. To see them do it at the same time, that's hard. Hard to get that done, all right? Psalm 143, I'm not going to be long. I'm going to tell you like Elizabeth Taylor's eighth husband told her, I'm not going to keep you long, all right? So I'm not going to keep you long tonight. Psalm 143, I told you this morning we was going to try to encourage you. How many be honest with me tonight? And I've already been told I've got a built-in amplifier. So if I get too loud, that young lady back yonder, she can adjust my sound. But I don't even need this. I got a built-in PA system. How many was here this morning and I said that we all deal with stuff? We all deal with stuff. I've been saved a lot of years. I've been born and raised in church. I went to church 9 months before I was even born. In fact, my daddy was running a revival the night I was born. And I got the privilege to preach at the church where my daddy was running a revival the night I was born. I got to preach there this year. And that was a great opportunity for me. But I've been in church. And I've learned how to, you know, play the part, look the part, and all that. But I'm going to be honest with you. Behind the smiles and behind all the handshakes and singing and all that, these times I went into the house of the Lord and had so much pressure upon me and been so depressed. You say, oh, we Christians ain't supposed to be depressed. Well, let me tell you something. Hey, stuff happens, all right? Stuff happens. We live in a real world. Where we have a real enemy that wants to destroy us. I mean, this is reality. Yes. And there's been times that I've come into the house of God and I played the part, I looked the part to look at me, look like I had everything together, but I just dying on the inside. Yes. I mean, dealing with stuff, and I'd go in and say, boy, if I don't get some help tonight, I don't know what I'm going to do. If I don't get some help, how many knows the Lord's always right on time? Yes. He'll give you the message. He'll give you a song. He'll give you something that will get you across the hump, that will help you. And that's what I want to try by the help of the Lord tonight is encourage you and encourage myself. I tell everybody, my preaching's for myself. And if you get any help, then that's a benefit. That's a plus. Most time I preach to myself. Psalm 143, look down in verse number 1. The psalmist said this, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. Be honest with me tonight. Have you ever had a time like that in your life when your spirit was overwhelmed? You tried to live for God. You tried to serve God. You tried to be faithful and be dedicated, but your spirit was overwhelmed. And that's where the psalmist is at. He said, therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. Let me give you some good advice right here. Amen. I talked about remembering this morning where Lamentation says, "This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope." It's of the Lord's mercies were not consumed. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is the Lord's faithfulness. And as this psalmist is looking back and he's overwhelmed, he said, "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works." How many knows it's good to just meditate sometime? That's just like a cow chewing the cud, amen? He eats it, and I don't make you sick, but he regurgitates it, and he chews the cud. What we hear on Sunday, Brother Kevin told me back in the office a little while ago, he said, "Sometime it takes me a while to process what I've heard. I hear a message," but how many knows what you hear from this pulpit on Monday? You ought to meditate on that. It should not be just a Sunday thing, but take the truths you hear from the Word of God and meditate on it and think about it and muse on it. That's what the psalmist said. Verse number 6, "I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsts of thee as a thirsty land." Don't you really pay attention to verse number 7. This is what I want to preach out of tonight. "Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I will lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." Now, I don't really know what's going on at the writing of this psalm. David is in a desperate situation. I don't know if it's a time when he's running from Saul that is trying to take his life, and David would run from him and he would hide in a cave. Then another time, David's own son rebelled against him and was leading a revolt to overthrow David from the throne. I don't know which time it is that this is happening. It's uncertain, but what is certain, he's in a critical need of the help of God. You can tell it by the tone of his words and all of the psalm. But in verse number 7, he says, "Hear me speedily, my spirit faileth, hide not thy face from me." Amen. Let me ask us a question tonight. Have you ever been there in your life? Have you ever been there, amen, when your strength was a failing? And you say, "Boy, if God don't help me, if God don't come on the scene, I don't know how much longer I can stand it. I heard a story about a man. He fell off of a cliff, and as he's falling down, he grabbed a hold of a little twig, and he's hanging on that little root coming out of the ground, and he looked up and said, "Somebody up there, please help me. Would somebody help me?" He heard a voice come out of the heaven. Said, "Son, just let go and trust me." And he looked back up and said, "Is there anybody else up there?" Amen. Ain't that the way we are? Sometimes it's hard just to turn loose and trust God. I've been told this all my life. When you're hanging by a thread, tie a knot and hang on, that ain't the best approach. When you're hanging, let go of the knot and fall into the almighty hands of God that is able to help you and able when your heart is overwhelmed. He's able to get you through what you're facing. Amen. God, that's what he's crying out. David is in distress. He needs help, and he needs it now. You ever been there? He needs help and he needs it now. I'm hanging on hopelessly and helplessly. And he cries. Notice what he cries in verse number 7. Hide not thy face from me. Hide not thy face from me. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit is failing. Hide not thy face from me. Heard a story about a little, precious little family. Husband and a wife and a little daughter. The wife was tragically killed, and they had her funeral. The husband and the little girl went home that night. At the end of the funeral message, the funeral hour, some of the relatives come up, said to the man, said, would you like us to take the little daughter home for a few days with us and let you grieve and let you process what's going on? And the daddy said, no, her and I's going to face this together. We're going to face it together. He lost his wife. She lost her mom. Story said they went home that night. Both of them heart shattered. I mean, his heart is shattered. How am I going to try to raise my daughter, be a mom, be a dad? How am I going to do it? I know with the help of God that I get it done. But I'm telling you, man, he was hurting. And that night he went to put the little girl in her bed. He has got down, had a little bedtime prayer with her. He cut the light out. His heart is breaking. She's in her little bedroom, and he goes to his. He's not in there 5 minutes. He's laying in there crying, and he hears his little girl said, Daddy, it's dark in here. Daddy, it's dark in here. Can I come sleep with you, Daddy? He said, the story said he got up. He said, yes, honey, you can come sleep with me. He got her, put her in the bed beside him. She said, Daddy, it's dark in here too. It's darker than it's ever been. His heart was about to pound out of his chest. And she said, it's dark, Daddy. He said, honey, it's going to be all right. Daddy's here with you. She said, but I can't see you. It is so dark. I can't see you. He said, I'm right here beside of you. A few moments passed. She said, Daddy, are you looking toward me? He said, yes, honey, I'm looking right at you. She rolled over and went to bed and went to sleep. He got out. He got down on his knees beside the bed, and he said, God, I've never faced this before. This is the hardest day of my life. It's the darkest day it's ever been. I just need to know, Lord, are you looking at me? He said, the Holy Spirit of God told him, it may be dark. You may not can see me. But my face is turned toward you. And he went over, rolled over, and by the grace of God, he went to sleep. I'm just here to tell you, he's looking at you. I'm here to tell you, I don't care where you've been, what you're going through right now. You may not can trace God. You may not know what's going on in your life. Maybe there's something, the bottom has fell out of your life. But look up here at me. You can't see him. It's dark as it's ever been. But his face is turned towards you. Last night, I had a wedding. I got done with a wedding. I called my daughter, said, honey, can I come see my grandbaby? She said, yeah, Dad, come on, we're here. I went over there, Mike. Oh, the grandbaby, little tummy ache. Hey, man, fussy, crying. I fed her. I'd burp her. I'd rock her. She'd go to crying. You know what I'd do? I'd hold her out like that, and I'd sing, hush, little baby, don't say a word. Daddy's going to buy you a mockingbird. If that mockingbird don't sing, Daddy's going to buy you a diamond ring. If that diamond ring don't shine. And then I forgot the rest of the song. Like I do. But I was sitting there looking, and her little eyes was open real big. And she's looking at me, and I was looking at her. And I thought, man, as much as I love her and as much as I love my child, It ain't even a drop in a bucket of how much God loves you. Amen. The Bible said this: can a woman forget her sucking child? Can a woman forget her nursing child? And the Bible said they may forget, but I never forget you. I've engraven you in the palm of my hands. Everybody look up here at me. It may be a dark day in your life. Maybe you got a bad diagnosis at the doctor's office. Maybe you got a child and you don't even know where they are tonight. Maybe your grandbabies is running wild. Maybe health-wise, maybe a financial crisis. Maybe there's something going on in your life and the devil says they no need to serve God. Is that what it gets you to be true to God? Amen. Maybe dark. You can't see the Lord. Somebody told me one time, when you can't trace him, you trust him. You trust him. So, amen. I just want to say to you tonight, his face is turned towards you. David said in Psalm chapter 4, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, makest me dwell in safely. I told somebody a while back, I used to not be worried much about storms. I mean, tornadoes would come. I wasn't worried much about it till they got so fancy with all the technology. And now they can pinpoint when it's about to hit your living room. I mean, when I just heard of a tornado watch, it always happened somewhere else. It ain't nowhere around me. But when they say it's coming down Mill Creek Road in 3 minutes, you better take cover now, I'd be in the utility room with a baseball helmet on under a mattress. I would. But you know what? It occurred to me, I used to sit up and watch that weather news the whole night. And here the last inclement weather we had and tornado warnings and all of that, you know what I done? I said, God, you're going to be up all night anyhow. There ain't no need both of us staying up all night. I'm going to bed. If you want to take me to heaven, I'd just soon to go. Oh, Elijah went in the whirlwind. I'd just soon go by tornado as any other way. And I went to bed. Why are you saying? Ain't no need of popping nerve pills and biting your fingernails off. We serve an awesome God, and you may not see him, but he sees you. Amen. He's looking at you, Daddy. It's darker than it's ever been. I can't see you. Are you looking at me? And David says, oh, Lord, don't hide your face from me. Don't hide your face from me. Hear me speedily. My spirit is overwhelmed. Let me say this. It may be dark in your life, but guess what? The darker it gets, the closer he'll become. Amen. The darker it gets in your life. Psalm 69, verse number 17. And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I'm in trouble. Hear me speedily. How many knows God's always right on time? He's right on time. He may not come on your timetable, but he'll be right on time. We know the story in the Bible when Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus was sick unto death, and they said, somebody go get the Lord. Somebody go get him. Oh, and they sent word, and the Lord stayed right there. When he came, they met him on the outskirts of town and said, Father, if you'd been here, our brother would not have died. If you'd have been here. Have you ever been disappointed in the Lord? Be honest with me. I was brought up to believe, you don't ever question God. You don't ever ask God why. Oh, I've asked him 100 times. I've been disappointed in him. I have. I've been let down. But you know what? He'll let you be let down. He'll let you be disappointed. You know what? Hey, the Bible said he went to the grave, and the shortest verse in the Bible said Jesus wept. Did he weep because Lazarus had died? No, because he knew he was about to bring him right back. I believe he wept because he saw how sin had hurt the world. Amen. That's why there is death. Amen. That's why death come into the world is because of sin. And I believe he's seen the hurt in their face, Mary and Martha. Their joy was absolutely gone. Their faith was down the tube because they asked the Lord, Lord, if you would have been here, our brother would not have died. He says, show me where you laid him. Show me where you laid him. Roll that stone away. Amen. The Bible said he went to the mouth of that cave, and I've been in that actual cave in the Holy Land where Lazarus was at. Amen. And listen. He went to the mouth of that cave, and he said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Amen. Listen, he's always on time. Karen Peck wrote a song, when he's 4 days late, he's still on time. Amen. Listen, I'm almost done. Psalmist said this in 69 verse number 1. Save me, O God, for the waters are come unto my soul. The waters are come unto my soul. Verse number 2, he said, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I'm come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. It's one thing to be in a storm and your ship be in the water tossing and turning, but it's another thing when the water gets in the ship. And Psalmist said here, save me, Lord. The waters are come unto my soul. I'm sinking in deep mire where there's no standing. If it was just water, maybe he could have just swam out. But he's in deep mire, and his struggling was hopeless. And the mire just sucked him down deeper and deeper. He said, there's no standing. All my support is gone. His trouble is under him. Then it's around him, and now it's over him. Amen. But the songwriter said, amen, always songs come to my mind. I don't plan this out. That ain't in my notes. I mean, when I'm preaching, songs come to my mind. When the waves are over your head, they're under his feet. Amen. When the waves are over your head, they're under his feet. Amen. David is he says, I'm weary of my crying. If you go on and read in Psalm 69, I ain't going to take the time to read it. But if you read all of that, he's simply saying, I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My tears are all dried up. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. He's simply saying, I've cried till I can't cry no more. Have you ever done that? Have you ever went to bed at night and cried yourself to sleep? And you thought, I don't know how in the world I'm going to get through this. I know how. The grace of God. Amen. The grace of God that saved you is the same grace of God that keeps you. It's the same grace of God that sustains you. It's the same grace that'll lead you on. Oh, John Newton said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. And it's grace that got me this far. And it's grace that will lead me on. There ain't no need to doubt him now. Amen. He'll make a way somehow. Amen. You ever been there? You cry, but it seems like he's not listening. You feel like he's looking the other way. Seem like he's ignoring you, but I got some wonderful news for you tonight. His face is turned towards you. Amen. His face is turned towards you. Isaiah said his hand is not too short. His ear is not too heavy. Amen. The psalmist said, he shall call upon me and I will answer him and I'll be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible comes out of Psalms, out of that chapter I was just looking into. Weeping endureth for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. I wished I could stand up here and tell you, get saved and all your troubles are over. I wish I could stand up here and say, if you get saved and you serve God, everything is smooth sailing, but I'd be lying to you. I got saved at a young age. I told you this morning I started preaching. I'm done. I got more to say, but I'm just going to be done right there. I'm out of fuel. Now we'll forget. September the 20th, 1987. God called me to preach when I was 18 years old. I can tell you right where I was at. I was at Technotuff on Virgil Drive in Dalton, Georgia. I was a welder. And I was 18 years old, and I was back there, and I was welding bullhorns. And what that was, if you in the tufting industry and creel racks, I was welding bullhorns that makes creel racks. And I was back there, Miss Melissa, and the Holy Spirit of God, the Lord didn't talk to me, but he might as well had, because it was that strong. And he began dealing with me. It's like he's speaking to me about preaching. I started crying. I could not even see what I was welding. Tears were dripping on my welding lens, and I couldn't see nothing. And I took my welding hood off and looked around and made a beeline for the bathroom. And I went back there in the back, and I got in a stall, and I set the lid down and sat back there, and with the door shut, and I was crying, got myself pulled together. I was 18 years old. I wished I could tell y'all I surrendered and started preaching right then. I didn't. For 3.5 years of my life, I run from the call to preach. My daddy was a pastor my whole life, and I thought, no, that's not what I want to be. I'm going to be a welder, fabricator. That's what I'm going to do. I don't care nothing about being a preacher. Care nothing about it. But for 3.5 years, I ran. I wish I had time to give my testimony, but I ain't going to take the time. But I knew that the Lord was going to get me. I knew he was going to get me. I knew he had my number. And I wasn't worried about what he may do to me. I worried about what God was going to have to do to make me listen to him. I kid you not, with this Bible in my hand, an ambulance could go down the road, and I would drive to my mom and dad's. I wouldn't stop. I'd just drive by to make sure it wasn't in their driveway. Because, listen, the night God called me to preach, September the 20th, 1987, when I was 18, when he started dealing with me to preach, I surrendered at September in 1987. But the night that he called me, began dealing with me, and then that next morning at work there at Virgil Drive, but tonight the preacher in a revival preached out of Acts 27. The south wind blew softly, but not long after there arose a tempestuous wind. And he said, there's somebody here tonight, a little breeze is blowing. And the Lord's trying to get your attention, a little breeze is blowing, but the storm's about to hit. Can I tell you, that night, my mother-in-law, my daddy-in-law, and my brother-in-law, all three of them got saved that night. And all three of them's in heaven right now. All of them's died. And I had the privilege three months ago, the pastor lived right up here in Dayton, Tennessee, and he died, and I preached his funeral. I thought, the man that was preaching, when God called me to preach, I preached his funeral. The guy that, the doctor that delivered me when I was born 57 years ago, delivered me, I preached his funeral. I said, the first man that ever seen me come in the world, and I preached him out of the world. But let me get back to it. I never will forget that. I'd ran from the call. Oh, boy, I ran. September the 20th, 1987. I'd read my Bible, Brother Kevin, but I never read the book of Jonah. Oh, if I'd open my Bible and did Jonah, I'd slam it shut. I wouldn't read it. Why? Because I knew what that was about. It was about a man that's running from the call on his life, and I didn't want to do it. And I surrendered to do everything. I said, God, I'll sing. I'll teach Sunday school class. I'll be a janitor. I even help you call some folks. And I put in a few names. And he did call some of them, amen. And they turned out to be pretty good preachers. But I said, I ain't doing it. I don't want to do it in the discussion. That ain't what I want. Never will forget. Listen, I lived in, for 3.5 years, pure misery. Pure misery. And that night, I'll never forget it, Brother Kevin, my dad got up to preach. I was sitting on the second to the back row. Let me tell you what all happened. I told you, you know, this morning about driving by and seeing where everybody died right there. I was in the backyard talking to my dad-in-law, and we're talking like I'm looking at you. And all of a sudden, boom, he's gone. And before I even thought about call 911, it's like the Holy Spirit of God said, all right, man. You going to listen to me? It's like the Lord was dialing up my number. My brother, 40-year-old, fell dead. My wife, and we, listen, we were newlyweds. We got married in 86. And my mother-in-law, I come home from work. My dad-in-law done died. My mother-in-law, I come in from work. She laid in the floor. Long story short, took her to Emory Hospital. She had 4 brain aneurysms, 2 strokes. She spent 7 months in Emory Hospital. My wife spent every day of it there. We're newlyweds. I'm a little welder trying to do my job, live my life. Don't mess with nobody. And the Lord's saying, I've got a job for you to do. And I never will forget, after 3.5 years of pure hell in my life, I never would tell God I'd do it. I knew people would even, I never would forget going in the restroom at work. And I was in there in the restroom, and the guy comes in and says, how you doing, preacher? And I'm like, oh, God, it's all over me. Everybody can see it. I felt like it's written across my forehead. I'm like, oh, Lord. That night, sitting on the second to the back pew, for the first time in my life, I said, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, you got to make it sure. I can't be 99.9 about this. I got to be 100%. I kid you not, my daddy was already up, done read his text about to preach. He done been up 5 minutes. And I bowed my head, and I didn't pray out loud, but I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you want me to preach, you got to make it plain. You got to show me. My daddy stopped and said, Ron, come up to the platform. My heart just about quit. I'm not lying. I'm not making this stuff up. That aisle looked like it was 20 miles long. And I was walking. I had no idea what my daddy called me up there for. I sang back in with my family. I never sung by myself. Oh, me and my mom and my brother sang. We couldn't get through a song because my mama would go to crying and Vernon go to running aisle shouting. And I'd be standing up there like a statue. And daddy say, say a word for the Lord, Ron. And I'd go, You couldn't pay me to get up, even testify. I'm not the one everybody thought be a preacher. It was my brother that never shuts up. But that night, walking down, I thought, well, I just asked God to show me. Boom. This can't be no coincidence. The devil said, that's coincidence. And then I'm like, well, you're probably right. And I done determined I wasn't going to announced my call. I walked up. I looked my daddy in the eyes. Brother Kev Kitchen, he handed his Bible to me. He said, son, sing or preach one. That's what he said. He called me up to sing a song, which was the first time that had ever happened. And that night, in my little 22-year-old voice, I said, the Lord's called me to preach. And my mama went to shouting, and people started, one guy jumped up and said, I knew it, I knew it. Long story short, I pastored that church 28 years. Amen. But here's what I said, all of that 30 minutes to get to this. You know what my daddy told me when I announced my call? You know the encouraging words that he gave me? You know, I mean, you'd think he'd hug my neck and say, "Oh, praise God, I got a preacher boy." No, he looked at me and said, "Congratulations, son. You just become a bullseye for the devil." That's what he said. You say, was he right? You better know he was right. A bullseye, a target for the devil. But I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't trade this journey for nothing. You say, preacher, there's been times I could, it didn't feel like God was within a million miles of me. And I just had to operate by faith. There's been times I've left the pulpit and go home and tell my wife on the drive home, I need encouraging more than the folks I'm trying to encourage. I need some help. And sometimes I just had to do it by faith. I couldn't see the Lord. I couldn't sense his presence. It's like, but listen, he was looking to me. He was looking toward me. He was looking toward me. You remember when you was a kid? Remember you was a kid and, you know, daddy? You know, I wouldn't spend a night away from home for years when I was a kid. I mean, I'd attempt to go spend a night with a buddy up the road. I mean, it wasn't from here to them far back doors back yonder. And I'd go and I'd be great till nighttime. Nighttime fall and I'd call mom like, "Can I come home?" She said, "Yes, hon, you can come home." I said, "Tell daddy, stand at the door and look." And I'd go past these shade and real dark, and I'd feel like the booger man's going to jump out and get me, a monster going to come out and get me. But as long as I could see my daddy standing in that little porch light looking my way, you know, I thought, "Come on, booger man, there's my daddy, and he's looking right at me." That's the way it is with the Lord. He's looking at you. He's looking at you. Now, we'll forget. I went to Panama City Beach, Florida when I was 12 years old to spend a night with that same neighbor boy, and I made it 2 days. That's 4 cell phones, and I found a pay phone. I was 12. I called my mom. I said, "Mom, I'm getting on a Greyhound bus, and I'm coming on." She said, "You ain't getting on the bus. You get right back over at that Sundown Motel. Your daddy's leaving right now." I kid you not, my daddy drove all the way to the Miracle Strip in Panama City at the Sundial Motel and got me in my little suitcase and drove me all the way home. Amen. My Heavenly Father's that same way. Amen. Don't matter what you're going through, he's a looking at you. I'd get homesick bad. Mom and Dad went with me on my honeymoon. I'm just playing right there. I'm just playing right there, boys. Amen. Let's stand together. I just want to encourage you tonight. There's been times that I didn't understand what I was going through. Amen. Have we got a brother, will you come back and sing us an invitation song? Get us one. It don't matter.